from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Tua Tagovailoa's third documented concussion, all coming on national TV during Thursday Night Football. Showing his concern. I, all things considered, I think Mike McDaniel did a really, really good job of being a human last night, which we don't always get to see of people in power in football. But Nick Wilson, Spencer German back on Afternoon Drive. It is a football Friday. It is NFL Friday. We're going to get back to the Browns talk here within this hour. We do have Daryl Ryder coming up at 6 o'clock as well to get us ready for the Browns game. And I just real quick here before we respond to what Mike McDaniel had to say, kudos to Mac Robinson for reminding us that Billy Joel, Nicki Minaj, and the Guardians game all going on downtown tonight. So if you are coming downtown, brace yourself.
If you're coming downtown, I hope you already are on your way downtown. Is maybe because I mean it's going to start getting crazy.
Yeah, that's a little over. Yeah, it is 4 o'clock now. Just say it, because I'm thinking. Remember, like Playhouse Square also lights up on the weekend, yeah. So you're probably going to get a little bit of that. There is a spot for the Bell's lettuce on the corner over there that brings people downtown. So no, I mean it's going to be a big weekend there, and it's going to be an exciting night. But stay safe if you're coming downtown. It's going to be pretty busy, pretty hectic. Give yourself some time, as Spencer's pointing out there.
Also by like 7 o'clock, there will be a spot available on Huron here if you're looking for a parking spot. Just saying.
Are you
trying to sell it?
I think that's what I heard. Possibly. He's like the parking spot pimp.
I am not below any grift.
What's up, money?
That is gonna make me a little bit of money.
For $20, you can get 3 hours of this parking spot's time. As long as you want.
Hey, after 6 o'clock, you can park there as long as you want until Monday. So
with all that being said, I want to be careful here because I know that a lot of people are reacting to the Tua thing with their best interests. But I do think that this conversation, anytime a conversation about Tua's health or any player's health gets to this fevered pitch, This kind of variables to it, where all the injuries have happened on national television, which means it's amplified our reaction, our recollection of the time where he had two concussions in one game. It certainly puts even more pressure on the Dolphins to do it right. I understand that there is a fevered pitch to this thing. And again, I think there's a lot of best intentions being said here. But there are a lot of people weighing in on what Tua Tagovailoa should do that will never have to make this exact same decision. And I'm even talking about guys that have played in the league that might have had concussions but are not in this lane, where it's not as simple as he's had three documented concussions. They have come on national television. They have been national talking points. I don't see how this is all that different from Denzel, who's had five. You know, and I mean this respectfully. Like, people make this like it's an obvious decision. No, it's his career. It's his livelihood. For a lot of players out there, football can be a part of their identity, and sometimes it can be their identity. And here's the thing. That's before we get to the crass thing, which is if he retires, I'm going to guess a good deal of that $266 million, and he's made 74 in his career to this point, including this season. I'm going to guess a good deal of that $266 million goes the way of the dodo because of language, because of those two previous concussions. So people make this super simple. Well, he's just got to retire. It's not that simple. It's never that simple when it's somebody else's life.
I don't know this for a fact, but I feel like there has been stuff said about like him being this person in his family that has ascended to this level. Like there's not like nobody's. He's kind of like a breadwinner of his entire family.
It's generational wealth.
Exactly. Like that's not something that like a lot of people from like even like where he's from, being from Hawaii, like get to experience. So it's crazy. It's crazy money for him and his family. And yeah, I think Denzel's a very relatable situation for obvious reasons. And I think it's, you know, it's not as simple as any one of us, whether we host a radio show here in Cleveland or you're just a fan, putting like a cap on how many of these things means that's it.
Yeah, there's no magic number.
Yeah, we tried to. Like when Denzel had his fifth or back in training camp leading up to the season, we were like, oh, well, that's number five. Maybe that's it. And then we talked to Denzel about it and he was like, yeah, I mean, listen, I talked to people and he talked about how he changed his helmet this year. He was asked about wearing the Guardian cap. He said he's not going to do that, but he's taking a different route to try to make sure he has more success without having concussions. And part of that is the helmet that he's now wearing, the different helmet that he's now wearing, which somebody I think actually asked him about it the other day, like because it was his first game with it and how it felt. And he said he felt like it kept him fine and protected. And it's like any of us walking into your office or your job, and if it's a career that you love, and telling you like, well, hey, you've said too many ums on the radio in your career, Nick. So I mean, I'm simplifying it by a lot.
I would have been gone 3 years ago.
That's what I'm saying. Like it's telling anybody they got to stop doing what they love to do and what their career is based off of. And I don't know that it's that simple. So
well, it's callous and arrogant. And there is an arrogance that is involved here that you know better than what Tua does. And it's done in a way that is cloaked in a warm and friendly tone.
Yeah.
And I can't get over, like, I want the best for Denzel Ward. I do. He's an Ohio State kid. He's a Cleveland kid.
Yeah.
He has held up his end of the bargain by being the number four pick in the 2018 draft and then some. He is actually probably still underrated in the NFL to how damn good he truly is. And yet, if Denzel had walked away, I wouldn't blame him. When Denzel decided to play, I can't blame him.
Yeah, but you can't force them.
Well, but you cannot. It is impossible. Even if you've played the game, unless you've made that decision and weighed, I am a breadwinner. I am a football player. That is who I am.
We get the stories all the time, too, about like guys who they retire and they lose their identity. Like it's not so simple as just being like, well, I've had one too many concussions. Now it's time. It's now for those guys like Tua, like Denzel, they have to sit there and think like, okay, my health is number one, but also like my career that I've loved doing. Like, so you're trying to give up this thing for multiple reasons now. And it's like, maybe you'll have a year where you don't have a concussion. I mean, Tua made it through the whole season last year without one. And that was part of the reason why they paid him this offseason. It was like, okay, he proved this thing. He reached this benchmark. Now we'll give him the money. But yeah, I also do wonder this with Tua. I wonder if, I'll say this, there's an uncomfortability part of this too. I don't think it's just straight up arrogance. I do think people, and it's, again, his have happened to happen on national TV, and it has been like the worst case scenario for a person reacting after they have a concussion ever, with the way his hands and his arm and stuff like that kind of moved and froze and, got held up. But I think that amplifies it to your point. But whether it's that or not, like, I also think that there's an uncomfortability thing here where people are like, well, I just don't like watching this on my TV and I feel bad. And that then it perpetuates itself into them telling him he needs to stop.
So but, can I tell you though, with that, just real quick, that's also you trying to absolve your own guilt of watching modern day gladiators bash each other brains.
That's the problem. And I said this to DeMar Hamlin.
But I just think it's phony. I think I don't like watching guys get hurt.
Yeah.
But I do like watching football. So I am making some sort of moral trade here of, like, I don't watch UFC because it's too violent. Because all I think about is that guy getting his brains beat in or that girl getting their brains beat in.
That's tough. I get that.
But that's me drawing a line because I don't do that in football. And I don't do that when guys get head injuries. And it's just a part of the game, part of the American way. So when people say, somebody's got to get to him, are you saying that to absolve your own conscience? Because you sit here, and he's just the obvious reminder. That's what he is. Every single player we should look at and go, that guy's got X amount of hits, whatever, in him, before it's probably best for them to call. But we don't have to think about it because it's not surface level.
Well,
the problem with Tua is that the guilt is right there because it's on the surface and you can't stop watching the clip of him staggering off the field and him hunched over because he physically, his brain cannot support his body.
Yeah, and the reason I brought up DeMar Hamlin in this conversation because I was trying to kind of get along the same lines that you were just alluding to with Tua and it being sort of disingenuous to go on this, get on your soapbox and be like, oh, well, Tua needs to retire because this is uncomfortable and whatever. But then guess what? You're sitting down next week and watching football again. And that's the same thing I said at the time of the DeMar Hamlin thing. That man literally died on the field for a moment in time. They had to resuscitate him back to life, then rush him to the hospital. And we know how long it took for him to get back. And it became this really like cutesy dootsy story in the end of like how you overcome this terrible thing that happened to return to the field. And I get for him, like that was part of his motivation, right? Was getting back to football. But we drape it in that and we drape it in this idea of like, oh, well, hey, look how hard he fought to get back on the field. And it's such a good story. But we're neglecting the fact that, again, we watched the player basically die on the field. And we're just sitting down and watching football again. So I think you're right. Like it all stems from the same thing where it's like you're trying to protect yourself because you on some level probably do feel some guilt that you watch the sport every week and that type of stuff, concussions, somebody dying of cardiac arrest, whatever it might be, can't happen on the field.
So I don't think it's just the guilt of what is absolutely moral relativism that we all practice. And I'm not putting myself above anyone here. If you watch football and ignore the violence of the sport, or even go one step further, that's your favorite part of the sport. There's some trade going on there. But what it is I think what people feel guilty is not, it's that they can't ignore it.
Yeah.
You can ignore every single time. It's in the back of your mind. Just push it. You can compartmentalize it because football is your escape. And then when it comes forefront, right in front of you, somebody's got to step in and do this.
It's funny because there's a fine line too. I mean, like, think about it. Joe Willis has this knee injury and every day it's like, why isn't this guy out there? He's such a bum, blah, 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 blah.
That's right? Different because it's a knee.
No, well, no, but I'm saying like, The second it becomes one of these other things, it's like, ooh, football, really tough game. Maybe that guy shouldn't be playing, but we don't give the people who have like a serious knee injury, reconstructive knee injury. I know Jed's wasn't quite that extreme. We don't give those people the same grace all the time, which is kind of just ironic.
And I don't want to make it seem like people are being the boogeyman here, but I do think the heightened reaction on the Tua thing is just a little phony. And I think some of it reeks of arrogance that any of us can speak what decision he's making. Because we don't know the specificity of the actual concussions and the type of concussions that he's had. We don't know what his doctors have said. And we've never had to decide whether to walk away from $266 million that he's got coming after this year. And then you add to it, I do think if these three injuries, if these three concussions were not nationally televised, I don't think this is a conversation. If this is the Sunday 1 p.m. kick and 25% coverage of America gets to see it, the southeast, you know, quadrant of America sees that, I think we're having the conversation today. It's the same reason why Denzel Ward's concussion, which happened in practice, which was on ESPN, but was not a feature on ESPN, his fifth documented concussion, it's why it wasn't a national story. And so we use these things to feel better about this barter that we make of watching a truly violent sport, ignoring that these guys are putting their hearts, their minds, their backs, their knees, their futures on the line, so that when this happens and you can't avoid it, well, it's the line from Blazing Saddles. We've got to protect our phony baloney jobs. We've got, because we feel guilty. How about you realize that every time you watch a football game? Because at this point, like, it shouldn't be something we push to the back of the mind. The violence is a very real thing you see,
yeah.
And there's a case of it in every single game. But I want to get to that. I think the national part of this, meaning the fact it was
for
on
sure.
television and the two previous were on television.
I think those were a Thursday night game too, weren't they?
It was. Maybe they should just keep them off Thursday night football.
Yeah, no more Thursday night games.
But I think that is about 50% of the heightened reaction on this.
I think another part of this too, and I don't think that this is in everybody, but I sort of was thinking about it this summer because the Tua extension obviously came out early in training camp, and it was like this, you know, obviously a national major storyline in the NFL. And I was curious because since Tua's come into the league, he's been one of the more controversial quarterbacks while being like not really a controversial person or personality. Like, he's actually seems like he's a pretty like down to earth, just like normal guy. Like, the most controversial thing I think he's ever said was this year at training camp. I know he was on the Levitard show and he dropped that line about Brian Flores not believing in him. And that was like the most controversial thing that he's like ever said throughout his career. So he's not really a controversial player, but I think he's controversial in the way that he's viewed by fans. And it all just stems from, I think that people want to feel like they're right about Tua in this league. Like,
how much do you think of that is actually of the conversation, though? Because I think it's I agree that football fans think.
I'm not saying that this is like the first thing people are jumping to in this conversation, but I think there's probably at least a group of people out there that they just want they sort of go to the easy stance of, oh, he's got to retire. And I think along the lines of it making you feel better about watching football, I also think it makes some of these fans feel better about like, oh, because if he retires, then I get to say that I was right about Tua the whole time, which was like, oh, he just wasn't going to make it in this league. I don't know that, again, I don't think it's like some hard and fast, like top of the line reason why, but I do think there's a little bit of that in play because for whatever reason, Tua has been this controversial player among fans who just kind of are like, I need to feel like I'm right about him. And a lot of people said he wasn't going to be very good in this league. And the fact that he's now earned the second contract and he's played at a high level under Mike McDaniel's system and all these different things makes people feel like they're now trending in the wrong direction about their take on him.
I think that might be a fan thing. Maybe that's more in like a Miami fan base thing. I just think I think more that Tua, because the football has been good enough the last 2 years with Mike McDaniel, that I think he's become the poster boy for, honestly, like soapboxing around, like being able to get on your soapbox and this should happen and this should happen. And it's funny that the people doing that are the people who usually do not have opinions on sports, right? It's Sports Center anchors. I know L. Duncan was on First Take today where, like, I don't think of L. as an opinion-based, yeah. You know, she's more of a presenter in that way. So like, I think that's to me is it's the thing that everyone can rally around and then feel better about themselves for this barter that we do. And I like, there are plenty of football players in the NFL making this same decision that don't have $260 million in the future coming to them. There are plenty of guys. I mean, K'Wan Williams was washed out of the NFL for 6 years. He was, I mean, if you guys think back to Pettine's early time here, K'Wan was one of the best nickel corners in the NFL the second he stepped on the field. He washed out and then resurrected his career like 6 years ago in San Francisco. But like there was a five-year stretch because of concussions. The guy couldn't touch the field. I'm going to go ahead and say if he had $260 million coming his way and $120 of that was guaranteed he was getting no matter what, I'm going to go ahead and say...
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month. Brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
One wouldn't have to come back to football.
Yeah,
you know?
Probably not.
So I think that like crying for Tua and not crying for other NFL players, like Antonio Pierce. So Antonio, and I'm rooting for Antonio Pierce because I would like to see more interim coaches get full-time head coaching jobs, right? And it's because that is a way that a lot of minority coaches get an opportunity to run the ship for 6 months
Then you got people like Jeff Saturday.
Yeah, okay, and I really care about Jeff Saturday getting another chance there. But Antonio Pierce today offered up this quip when asked about the Tua situation.
I'll be honest, I'll just tell him to retire. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Play the game. I haven't witnessed anything like I've seen that's happened to him three times. Scary. You can see right away the players' faces on the field. You can see the sense of urgency from everybody to get Tua help. I just think at some point he's going to live longer and he's going to play football. Take care of your family.
I like the idea of take care of your family, take care of yourself. That is what we should be espousing.
Can't you also apply that, though, to the fact that if he keeps playing football, he's also taking care of it? Like, that's how a football player is going to think about it. They're going to be like, well, this is taking care of my family. I'm the breadwinner. I'm earning all this money, and that's taking care of my family. Generational wealth, as you alluded to earlier.
So I think that is another way to kind of look at that. But my thing is, no offense to Antonio Pierce, who had a really nice NFL career. Who the hell are you to say this into a microphone as you were the head coach of another franchise, whereas I don't know you'd be saying this if Tua was your quarterback.
Or if it was Max Crosby or something.
Or like if, yes, exactly. And by the way, I don't believe... Actually, no. I do believe that Antonio thinks he hasn't seen this before because a lot of players... The biggest pushback we have in football of players and decision-making on multiple concussions in a row, it isn't from team doctors. It's not from the team anymore, right? Because there are procedures in place. The last frontier of protecting players from concussions is the players. It is the idea that there's still something embedded in the football psyche of, because it affects your brain and it's not a busted pinky or a busted leg, that it is somehow not as important when in fact it's your brain. It's the most important thing you had there. So Antonio, I guarantee you, you've seen it. You just weren't looking. Like everybody else in football, for as long as I can remember, and we're getting better, we are. The conversation around concussions, letting players have their say, empowering players to realize that concussion doesn't make you a wuss, right? Yeah. And that going to the blue tent isn't the worst thing in the world, right? You don't have to hide. There are still players hiding concussion symptoms in games every week because they don't want to go in the blue tent because it could end their career. Like, respect to Antonio Pierce. One, it is not your place to say, certainly into a microphone. But that is symptomatic of everything I've heard of people knowing better than a guy who it's his life. And knowing better than his doctors. But real quick here, because I want to make sure I get this out. But like, we still have a cultural problem in football where even though we've made all these advancements, guys are still risking their brains. So Tua's the one you see. And this, I'm not trying to high road. I'm really not trying to high road or soapbox anybody here. But my point is, like, the decision when Tua stayed in from the first concussion, that's the mentality we're fighting. Oh, no, I'm not concussed. I have a stinger. Oh, no, I'm not. I whiffed something in the air and I would go, got to get away from that smell. These stinky offensive linemen. Like, we're talking about Tua as if he's the only player making this decision, when I guarantee you it's bigger than we want to admit, the amount of players that on a yearly basis, weekly basis have to. And by the way, these are the guys that get paid for it. We're not even talking about the guys in the UFL. We're not talking about kids in college.
The only thing I'll say on behalf of Antonio Pierce is that
you're a close personal friend.
Yeah, you know, we text all the time. We were just talking last night. No, I would just say, like, coming from his perspective, it's one thing for you, me, a fan, whatever, to sit there and get on Twitter and say, oh, Tua's got to retire. When it's coming from a player, like a former player or a player that, or somebody that played the game, I sometimes do read into that as, like, if he was sitting in a room with Tua and it was like man to man, he might actually say that to him. Like, I legitimately wonder.
I don't doubt that he would.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, I think that's where I start to think about, like, Tua man as a coach.
Tua man?
I see what you did there.
I did that
very unintentionally. But, like, Tua man on his team, if that did happen to Max Crosby, I maybe give a little bit of grace in believing that he would have those conversations with guys and be like, listen, you need to do what's best for you. If you think that this is if this is so serious, like I support you in a decision to potentially retire because I understand where you're coming from. Like I do think, like, coaches think like that, and we sometimes, you know, question it, the ethics behind it and if they're being sincere. I think in that moment it was Antonio Pierce being sincere with putting that hat on of, like, when I was a player, if this had happened to me or it had happened to a close friend of mine or whatever, I'd say the same thing. And I think a lot of those guys do bring that to the coaching realm.
I don't doubt his sincerity. I don't doubt that he would say that if Tua was in the room with him.
You did question, like, him saying that to his own players. And I think there might actually be some sincerity.
My point is more that it's easier to say that in hypothetical, like, oh, a guy who's not on my roster, than it is when it's in
your
building.
That's true, but I think we always hear the NFL is a fraternity. We always hear all these different things. Like, I think those guys, especially if they've played, like, they put themselves in each other's shoes. They understand it. And I think it is kind of one of these things where it's like, if you're a coach, you're supposed to... Coaches pride themselves in like having their players' best interests in mind, too. And I know that's not always the case. Like we in lieu of talking about Tua, I mentioned the comments he made about Brian Flores. Clearly, Brian Flores didn't have Tua's best interests in mind. But somebody like that, he strikes me as the type of guy, from what we've heard, what we've seen from him in these comments now, that he takes pride in, like, this is more than just me coaching you. Like I'll be out of the sport, and those relationships matter more than me just coaching a football team.
You're giving a big benefit of a doubt to a person that is more of a an idea than a reality, because we don't like we've only
yeah,
seen
I mean, I
so much of it.
And I don't know Antonio
quick,
Pierce.
Real quick, because we're kind of up against it. And I'm not trying to attack you on this. I think my point is, when it comes to this, everybody's talking at Tua. That's not what Tua needs. What Tua needs
well,
is
he was
to
asked
do
a question about well, it though too. But, it wasn't like he just came out and said Tua should retire. He was asked about it specifically,
and he
just
didn't have
the question.
To say that. He said, "I would." You can answer that question a million different ways than the one he did. But real quick here, everybody's talking at Tua or about Tua. That's not what he needs. What he needs, and what every football player making this decision today, tomorrow, 10 years from now, 10 weeks from now, whatever it is, they actually need to be able to talk to people. And then that's when you can, if you've sat down and Tua said, here's on both sides where I'm at, and you know the specific ins and outs, then you can make that comment. If you're just in the nebulous, well, he's had 3 concussions, tell him to retire. That's reckless. Because everybody's doing that. When everybody's doing it, that's not good. That's not helping Tua. If everybody's just shouting in his general direction, hey, you should retire. That doesn't help him make a decision. It's another piece of weight that he has to carry around. And because, again, what football players see, real quick, football players see this. So they're seeing, well, oh, man, this is what happens when this becomes the conversation.
You think that's a bad thing, though? I think football players are seeing that, and they're like, oh, that's a coach that would have my best interest in mind.
It's not about the coach. It's about the collective. It's everybody rushing to have a gigantic opinion on something that they're not qualified. Antonio Pierce played in the NFL for 8 years. Antonio Pierce was a linebacker. Antonio Pierce is a head coach. He's still not qualified to make the decision because this is a decision where the devil's
Tua
in the details.
Tua has to be the only one that makes the decision.
But I think
based on what he said, based on what Tua has said, I understand what you're saying. Like, there's a lot. Everyone's yelling in his direction, and he now has to weigh all those different things. Whatever, he's talked about it. Like, that's a conversation that ultimately does come down to him and his family. And he's said, like, his mother's even kind of urged, like, you sure you want to do this? Blah blah blah. And he's affirmed to her, like, I want to. So that's what the decision ends up being. That's his decision. And I don't think Antonio Pierce is trying to take that away from him. I just think he's saying
no.
If he was asked or he was in a room with him, he would say, I think it's fine if you want to retire.
I'll continue to go back to, I know the intentions are good, but we have to understand that if the conversation is one-sided in a bunch of yahoos, from head coaches to Stephen A. Smith to me to you, if the whole conversation is, you should retire, that's not helping. It's not. And by the way, it's not helping any of the players out there that are dealing with concussion issues from high school to college. There are structural things here that have to be addressed. And namely, every single one of these decisions is different. The Denzel thing is different from the Tua thing.
Yeah,
but
I
mean, we don't treat them
differently. For sure.
The only way we treat them differently is if they were nationally televised or not, and then we suddenly care a little bit more. That's where all of a sudden it's a little bit more fake. We've spent a lot more time on the discourse around the conversation than the conversation itself. That guy in Cleveland said, I think Tua will be back in play in about 2 or 3 weeks' time period. I don't have a time period on it. There's a part of me that still would be surprised if Tua did walk away. I don't know. I'd be wildly surprised now because the conversation has been so there. But I would be more surprised if he retired than if he came back.
I don't think he's going to retire. I also don't think, like, in the same way that last time he was back sooner than people thought was appropriate. Because that's the other thing we do in this conversation. It's like, well, how many games is enough before he's allowed back? Is it 5? Is it 6? Is it 8? Should he sit out the rest of the season? When he's back in, like, week 7 or whatever the hell it might be, I'm just, estimating, people are going to be like, Oh, he came back too soon. The Dolphins didn't handle this right.
It doesn't matter how many weeks he's out. Right. That will be the conversation. Yeah. Bill, welcome to the show, buddy. What you got for us?
Well, I think this is a great discussion. I think there's already information out there that we'll look at to make their decision. And that's the Boston University study, in which they have over 100 brains of professional athletes that played football. And almost 90-some percent have significant injury. And some of them have only played in the NFL 2, 3, 4 years. And so the ones that play longer, the chances of them having a severe, I think it's graded from 0 to 4, if I'm not mistaken. And most all of them that have for any length period of time have a 3, which is pretty significant injury. But, you know, one of the things you have to look at is this in making this decision. And we sit here, look at this and say, but that's to him. That doesn't apply to me. Well, it does apply to us. Let's look at people who smoke cigarettes. Well, we know people who smoke cigarettes. Almost every one of my friends that smoked cigarettes that I knew growing up into their 20s or 30s have suffered with COPD, which is a horrible disease. Or lung cancer. Also diabetes. A horrible disease when you get older. All these things, this brain injury. And this is a brain injury. It's not just like he hit his brain. It is a brain injury. So like diabetes is a body injury. And the effect that it has on your body. And I don't...
Bill, we're sorry. I know you're making a point there, buddy. We're having some connection issues there.
Was he making a point, though? I was a little lost. I'm going to be honest.
I think he was making a better point than you were in the last segment.
Come on.
I think he was making a better point than you were right before we came in when you said that you have a ton of ideas, including a double-sided peanut butter jar.
Where did this come from?
No, but it came
what
from
does that
you.
Have to do I with didn't. The
no, no, because you're no, because we're switching. Because I have to get into this right now. That you're dogging Bill's opinion there. I'm just dogging his carrier.
Wait, before we get to this, did you? He was trying to say that people who get diabetes that impacts him somehow. I was confused.
No,
I mean, I guess if it's like a personal relationship. Yeah, that could impact you.
But I think he's talking about the importance of understanding brain injuries. And how it relates to anybody can suffer a concussion or multiple concussions. I think that's where he was trying to go with it.
Okay. That makes a little more sense. But I wasn't quite sure. He took a roundabout way to get there, and then we didn't get the end of the call. So
all right, now, just real quick here. Can you confirm or deny that you said leading into the break that one of your ideas that you think could go on Shark Tank was a double-sided peanut butter jar?
I clarified that it wouldn't actually take it to Shark Tank. I just said it was an idea that I had for something that is not in existence that should be out there.
Right.
Double-sided peanut butter jar.
Okay, Mac, I'm going to need somebody to weigh in on this. I believe that you said the pitch I got ideas to go on Shark Tank.
You always do this. Dot. You half listened to me when I said...
I said that.
And then before the conversation ended, I said, I wouldn't actually take that idea to Shark Tank. It's just an idea that I have. That was what I said.
All right, if you lead with Shark Tank...
You blocked out, just like the Tua conversation, everybody just wants to throw their idea out there and then they stop listening and that's the only thing that matters. You stopped listening once you heard the first part of the conversation about taking an idea to Shark Tank.
I'm going to go to the peanut gallery here. Mac, is that what you heard?
From the peanut gallery, yeah, the first thing that I heard.
The first thing? Did you listen to the rest of the conversation?
Yes, I listened to what you said. I got an idea that I want to take to Shark Tank. I got a list of ideas. And then the first thing out of your mouth is double-sided peanut butter.
Yeah, and no, not peanut butter. That doesn't make any sense, Mac. What's double-sided peanut butter?
Oh.
This is the best fight I've heard between you two, other than the children's movies you both watch.
And your love of Disney princesses. Keith.
The Shark Tank topic had come up, and that was the first thing you mentioned after that. So I had kind of approached it that way. That was your pitch.
So when you go in, do you have a mock-up of the double-sided peanut butter jar? You see, most peanut butter, they got one lid. What we've done here is we've basically cut two peanut butter jars in half and then glued the ends together.
Which end do you open first? It's a mystery. I don't know.
You choose. It could be like Twix, left lid or right lid. There you go.
What about this?
Great marketing scheme right there.
What about a double-sided peanut butter and jelly jar?
You got to admit,
one half
jelly, but they've done that.
One half peanut butter.
They've done that with the jar that has like that striping of peanut butter and jelly.
Not the swirl.
It's the same thing.
No,
that would not. You
it
think,
is
you think
wildly
that would work
different.
You think
you still
that
have to dig to the bottom. It's not double sided though.
You think that would work better on Shark Tank than a double sided one where you don't have to get all the peanut butter on the damn knife every time?
I didn't say
hey,
that. I said it was
thing.
An extension
let's
and
bring
a better
this
idea.
Thing that already exists, but it's just not striped in the jar. It's just on opposite ends
hey,
of the jar.
Wait, that's
worse.
Hey, do you not want to have two jars in your fridge there? Okay.
You put peanut butter in the fridge?
You can?
No, you don't.
You can?
You don't.
You caught me on that one?
The hell are you thinking?
Point to German? This is dumb.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
it
taken
took
care
forever,
of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.